I thought some of this crew would remember those days. We're talking about the kingdom of God. So we've been studying. Turn to Matthew with me, chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. You're visiting with us. We are just totally excited that you are here. We welcome you to the bridge. We teach through the Bible, verse by verse, Sunday night, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, I don't know, all the time. You've caught us in Matthew chapter 13. This is one of the busiest teaching days, I think, in the ministry of Jesus. Okay? He teaches seven parables that are listed here in Matthew chapter 13. Two more on this same day not listed here that are listed in Mark. So he teaches nine parables. A parable is nothing more than a story, an illustration, a physical illustration to demonstrate or define a spiritual truth. All right? Pick it up, verse 1, chapter 13. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Now, Jesus is in the home. We've talked about it. It was really crowded, probably in Peter's mother-in-law's home. And he comes out. He goes and sits by the seaside over the Sea of Galilee. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him because they wanted to hear what he was saying. He was saying stuff that nobody had ever heard before. Incredible. So he went into a ship. He sat and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So here's what's going on. He's backed up to the Sea of Galilee. Throngs of people. So he gets in a little boat and kind of pushes off from shore. Now that was not only to protect him so he could teach, but, you know, Jesus created everything. So what he had there was a natural PA system, public address system. Water is a natural public address system. As he would speak there in the boat, you've been fishing and people talking and you hear it amplified and stuff. So he's sitting there, he's teaching, and this amplification, he was a high-tech kind of guy. So he had this amplification thing going on as he spoke, and the multitudes are around listening to what he had to say. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. I just believe that Jesus was so masterful in his teaching that he was probably there, and probably off over here in the distance somewhere was a farmer. And the farmer was probably out with his bag on him and the bag of seeds and was probably throwing seeds. And Jesus looks at that and says, well, here's an illustration. Here, I can use this. So he begins to teach. He says, a sower went out to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. In other words, as he sowed, there was areas that were trampled down as people walked by. And so as it was trampled down, it became very, very hard. So when they sow the seed there, it wouldn't take root. It wouldn't go into the ground. So the fowls would come, the birds would come, swoop down and eat the seeds. Kind of like we do now when we plant our winter rye. My yard is filled with birds as soon as we plant the seeds, and that's what he's talking about here. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. So some of the places where he was putting the seed was stony, and so the seeds could not really get into the ground. And so there was no deepness, there was no depth there. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. So the seed was there, the sun came up and just destroyed the seeds. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And so there was weeds, is what the thorns are. There was weeds. The weeds were taking all the nutrients out of the ground, and there was no space, so nothing was happening when these seeds were sown. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, of these seven parables, Jesus explains two of them. Just gives a definition. This is one of them. He'll do that in a couple of minutes, but first there's a little parenthesis here. And the disciples came, verse 10, and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that he has. Therefore, speak I to them in parables, because they seeing not, see not, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Now, at first glance, and I read this in some commentaries too, at first glance, it looks like Jesus is saying, I'm talking kind of in code here, because you need to understand what I'm saying, but these other guys that don't understand what I'm saying, I'm going to talk in parables so they can understand and they won't grasp the truth. That is not what Jesus is saying at all. That is not what he's saying. What he is saying is, you guys understand. You've accepted me as the Messiah. You know who I am. When I'm speaking these truths, you know I'm talking about my kingdom, and you understand that, and you're making adjustments because of that. But these other people listening, they don't understand. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell stories. I'm going to give parables. I'm going to tell stories so the kingdom has the availability to be opened unto them. Are you following me? See, Jesus wanted people to understand. I've heard this taught where he was hiding the truth from them by telling stories. That's not what he was doing. He was telling stories. Any good teacher knows when somebody starts falling asleep, you tell a story. That's why I tell a lot of stories here. But you tell a story, okay? And right away you tell the story, and, you know, because you say, well, that reminds me of a story or whatever. You go, oh, I want to hear the story. That was a little trip I took. But, you know, here's a little story, and so people begin to listen. Well, that's all he was doing, and he was trying to explain it in that way. And in them is fulfilled, verse 14, the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard. He's saying, guys, listen to me, as he's talking to the disciples. He said, understand, you are enjoying something that prophets for generations desired to experience. They talked about me coming. They talked about their Messiah. They talked about the new kingdom. They prophesied about it. They prayed for it, but they never experienced it. And he's saying, gentlemen, right now in your midst is the fulfillment of all of that prophecy, of all of their hope, of all of their desire. I am in your midst right now speaking to you, he says. And you know what? Same is true today. There are people today in all of our services that will leave here filled up with the Word of God. There are people that are going to leave here excited about the Word of God. There are people that are going to leave here saying, yeah, I understand. I'm going to take the Word and let it take root in my spirit, and they're going to understand, and you're going to walk out filled with the things of God. There are other people that are going to walk out of this place today exactly the same way that they came in. They're not going to hear the Word. They're going to hear words. They're going to hear stories. They're going to hear things we say about the Word, but they're not going to hear the Word. It's not going to penetrate. They're not going to. Who are you going to be today? Are you going to hear the Word? You're going to walk out of Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. You can walk out of here more alive than you walked in, because his Word is. This is not ink on paper, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just words in a book. This is the living Word of God. Again, the kingdom, now he begins to explain this. Verse 18. Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, Luke tells us that the fowls of the birds that come, he says that that is Satan, that's the devil. There is a truth that is called Bible constancy. Bible constancy means that when you are given an interpretation or an illustration, something that is explained spiritually in the Word of God, then that remains constant. By that I mean, and you'll see that as we're going through the rest of the parables, that that's not always been true by people explaining some of these parables. It means that if it's been explained that the birds represent Satan, then in every parable Jesus tells, the birds will represent the evil one. They will represent Satan. They can't represent anything else. In the parable where it says the field represents the world, then every time you see the field in any parable, it represents, it speaks of the world. So that's biblical constancy. Many people err in this, and they see something new in another verse and say, well, it must mean this. Stay constant, you know, in your interpretation of the Word of God. Understand how it's explained to us and what He does. So verse 19, it comes, the wicked one catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. It was too hard. But verse 20, he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. You've all seen those people. Some of you have been those people. Do you hear the word of God? You hear a salvation message, you go to a harvest crusade, or you come to church, or somebody shares with you. I saw it over and over and over again in juvenile hall when I was there with the kids, one-on-one. You would see a joy. You would see an excitement. You would see, whoa, that's the answer. You know, we see it in jail ministry. We see it in all kinds of things. And there's this joy, and there's this excitement. Yes, this emptiness in me is taken care of. Yes, there's reason. Yes, I have direction. Yes, I understand. And there's this joy because they have experienced the truth of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Yet, verse 21, has he not root in himself, but endures for a while? For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. So it's this person who gets excited about the word of the Lord, and then persecution comes. Did you hear that? Persecution comes because of the word. All of a sudden, you're losing some friends. All of a sudden, family's judging you. All of a sudden, people are putting you down. All of a sudden, trials are hitting you, and you thought when you came to Jesus Christ there wouldn't be any more trials. You thought everything would be cool once you came to Jesus Christ, that there would be no problem. And all of a sudden, you're going through heavy stuff. And the stuff is just as heavy as it was before you became a Christian. And you're throwing up your hands saying, so what? Why should I be a Christian? Why should I give my life to God, man? It's not changing anything in my life. Nothing's better for me. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. We have the same diseases. We have the same illnesses. We have the same hurts. We have the same disappointment. The only difference now is we have Jesus walking those things through with us, if we'll allow him to do that. But I've seen so many people get excited about the things of God, and then all of a sudden, you know, they just kind of, they're not there anymore because of the persecution from the word. No root. Verse 22, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. This is the one you got to watch out for, ladies and gentlemen. Very close. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. That's the guy that receives the word, begins to walk with Jesus, begins to study, begins to grow, and then all of a sudden, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, all of a sudden we're worried about our jobs and our house payments and our cars, and we don't have enough toys, and we need some more, and we need this, and we need to get this, and I need to accomplish this, and what I have isn't enough, and I need to get more. And pretty soon, the word of God is choked out. And pretty soon, that person is no longer spending the time in the word that they used to. That individual is no longer worshiping like they used to. That individual is no longer fellowshipping like they used to. And all of a sudden, the word gets choked out because the word is no longer the motivating desire and food of their life. But verse 23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some of 160 and some 30. It's that one that takes the word and begins to study the word, begins to be saturated in the word, begins to walk the word out, Do you know there are folks that come here that show up on Sunday morning and they're saying, they've prayed before they got here, Jesus, give me some stuff that I can walk out of here and try today. Show me some stuff that I can apply in my life today, Jesus. And they come with an excitement. They come with a desire. They come with an anticipation. The Lord's going to open up the word to me. And I'm going to take some stuff. And I'm going to walk out. And my life is going to change. My business is going to be different. My family's going to be different. My relationships are going to be different. Things are going to be different because the word of God has opened up to me. That's this individual. That's the one I want to be, man. I want to be taking the word in and so solid in the word that, you know, there's fruit. And this, the fruit is 160-30. That means every believer that is walking with Jesus Christ will be fruitful. Some 30, some 60, some 100, all moving towards 100. But every believer will be fruitful. Why? Because if you're walking with Jesus and you're in his word, and you're fellowshipping with him, I want to tell you, man, there's something about you that's going to draw people to Jesus Christ. There's just something, man. You're going to be fruitful because people are going to be saying, what's up with you? You know? What's in your life, man? What's going on? How come you're not miserable like me? What are you doing? What did you get into? Jesus. What? Jesus. Got into Jesus, man. And there's a joy and a peace that's incredible. It's unspeakable. And there's some of you here, you're not experiencing that because you have not allowed the word of God to take root in your heart. Oh, you've snuck by it once in a while. You taste it a little bit once in a while, but you haven't let it take root, man. You haven't come to the point where you say, Jesus, I surrender, and it's you or nothing, man. I'm going to trust you and your word. I'm going to walk in obedience to that, and it's going to be fruitful in my life. That's what we need to do. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not you sow good seed in the field, in your field? From how come all these tares are out there? He said unto them, an enemy has done this. The servant said unto him, well, you want us to go out and gather all this stuff up? And he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather to you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This is the second one that he explains in a moment, and we'll see the explanation in just a moment. Verse 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Here's one. You'll mess up on this parable unless you have biblical constancy. Okay? Most of your commentaries will tell you that this is talking about the church. That the church started like a small entity, like a grain of mustard seed, and it grew into this tremendous church. And it is so huge now all over the world and so effective that people just light in the tree and it's just spreading all over the world. Now, the problem with that, what's the problem? Biblical constancy, what's the problem? What do birds represent? Birds represent Satan. So this can't be this enormously successful entity with people sitting in the tree being blessed. The parable of the mustard seed is talking about the church that started very, very small. But it's interesting that a mustard seed does not grow into a tree. A mustard seed only grows into a bush. Now, this mustard seed grew into a tree, which means it is abnormal. It's not normal. It's out of sync with things. So it grows into a tree. And it gets so big and so huge that in this enormous tree are all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of false prophets, all kinds of things that are in error, all kinds of tares, all kinds of stuff have lit in the tree, in the church. And it's all part of the church, the World Council of Churches. And I can go on and on and on the false doctrines and the errors that are in the church today, the unbiblical teaching that's in the church today. Ladies and gentlemen, don't trust anything you hear unless you take it to the Word of God and you validate it in the Word of God. I don't care where you hear it. I don't care if you hear it at church. I don't care if you hear it on TBN. I don't care if you hear it at somebody's ministry. It makes no difference to me. Unless it's validated in the Word of God, don't you accept it. It must be. It's amazing how much light the Bible will put on people's theology. Okay? So you need to understand. Take it to the Word of God. That's what that's talking about. The errancy. And in fact, the church has grown so out of proportion that part of the church is going to become apostate. Part of that church will be the church during the tribulation. It will be the church in error, and on and on and on. So that's what this is talking about. Then look at verse 33. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I read in a couple of commentaries, this is also talking about the church. Started out very small and then grew. No, leaven in Scripture, what does leaven mean in Scripture? Sin. Leaven always is sin. So this parable is talking again about the church where a little bit of leaven, a little bit of sin has infected the whole thing. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said unto them, he that sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field, so Jesus is the sower. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is very sobering to me. Man. This is not popular teaching. I'm just reading the Bible to you, man. There will be a day of judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment will be judged whether we receive Christ or we have not received Christ, whether we're walking with him or not. And I'm one preacher that wants to tell you, man, make that assurance based upon your current, right now, today, relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't make it on some doctrine that says if you prayed once to receive Christ, you're saved forever. Okay? Make it on a personal relationship right now with Jesus Christ. Because it says there will be a day. It says there will be a day that many are going to stand there and say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name? Cast out demons, did all this stuff. He's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. It's a matter of lordship to Jesus Christ. Please don't base your destiny upon some man's doctrine. Base your destiny upon a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know. Are you following me? So important you understand that, man. There's a lot of things out there, you know, telling it's okay, do whatever you want, but you know, you got saved, so you're saved forever. I'm telling you, I am saved forever because every day I choose to walk with Jesus Christ. That's it. I'm eternally secure because I choose every day to be eternally secure. Well, it's a whole other teaching, but where are we? What verse? Who said 58? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy therefore goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price went and sold all that he had and bought it. These two verses, three verses, 44, 45, and 46, many people teach him, and some of your commentaries tell you that, you know, this is talking about us and Jesus, that, you know, when we find the pearl of great price, then we need to sell everything, we need to let everything out of our lives, we need to let it go, and we need to do everything and buy into Jesus Christ. That is not what this is saying. That's not what this is saying about the merchant. This is not what this is saying about the treasure in the field. The treasure in the field and the treasure, the treasure of the pearl of great price, you know who that is? That's you. The merchant is Jesus Christ. Get this, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus thought that you were so valuable and so precious that he divested himself of everything to make a way for you to have a relationship with him. It's not a matter of you selling everything to have a relationship with Jesus. You cannot buy a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't buy one. That's what this would be saying. If that's true, you can't do that. A relationship with Jesus Christ is based upon his completed work. But one day he looked down and he saw you, man. He viewed you. And he said, you know, that is a pearl of great price. There's a priceless possession right there. And I am going to get rid of everything so that I can purchase that pearl. That treasure that's buried in the field. I'm going to sell everything. I'm going to get rid of everything so that I can get that treasure out of that field. And that treasure is you. That pearl is you. And Jesus Christ, it tells us in the book of Philippians, that though he was equal with God, thought it not something to be grasped onto or hang on to, but he emptied himself, the kenosis in the Greek, he emptied himself and he took the form of man. Now he emptied himself not of his godness, because he was totally God, he was totally man, but he emptied himself of his godly rights. And so he divested himself of all of the rights of his godness. And he came and experienced a horrible, horrendous death on the cross. Why? Because he was buying that buried treasure. He was buying that pearl. And that is you. Doesn't that change everything you think? It's incredible how much he loves you, man. He saw you and gave up everything. The Father gave up his Son. There had never been a separation in all of eternity between the Father and the Son. Never. And at that moment on the cross, when Jesus cries out, as recorded in Psalm 22, he's quoting Psalm 22, but he's crying it out in the gospel. He's crying, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was because for the first time in all of eternity, the Father had turned from his Son because he could not view my sin, your sin upon his Son. Jesus allowed himself to be separated from the Father. The Father allowed himself to be separated from the Son. Why? Because you're a treasure. Because you're a pearl of great price. And Jesus wanted you in his family. Jesus wanted you to have eternity with him. So he gave up everything to be able to do that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Same story. Then Jesus said unto them, have you understood all these things? They said, yeah, Lord. And then he said unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was come into his own country, he went back to Nazareth. He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where in the world does this man get all these things? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Jesus leaves his teaching. He goes back to Nazareth, his hometown. Goes into the synagogue. Tells in Luke chapter 4, I think it's verse 18, that he was in the synagogue and he picked up the scroll as a guest teacher and began to read out of Isaiah chapter 61. And the word talks about, you have anointed me to preach the gospel and give sight to the blind and open prison doors and all of that. He folds up the scroll and lays it down and says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Not in your eye, not in your heart, but in your hearing. And it says, and he could not do many mighty works in Nazareth. Why not? Because when he started teaching, started sharing the things there, they responded by, wait a minute. This is Joe's kid. This is the guy that played with our kids. This is the guy that helped carry the wood when his dad built our coffee table. This is Mary's son. We remember the story 30 years ago. We remember that Mary made up some kind of stupid story. She was pregnant. This is the illegitimate son from that. Well, you know, this, all this kind of stuff, man. We can't listen to him. Who does he think he is? So because of their unbelief, he could not do many mighty works in their midst. They were too familiar with Jesus. They took Jesus for granted. They looked at Jesus as just, you know, somebody from their hometown. I read that and I thought, oh, sweet Savior, man, don't let us become too familiar that we take you for granted. Don't let us become, because we're always talking about Jesus, we're always singing about Jesus, we're always wearing the t-shirts about Jesus, we always have Jesus on our shirts and all that, and sometimes we become too familiar and we're not standing in awe of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're not standing in awe of the one who by his very word holds everything together. We need to come back to that place where we are in, we revere him. And when we worship here, it's not just singing because you like the beat or whatever. We should be in his presence from the depths of our being, singing, speaking praises to God because of who he is. And worship him because of what he's done for us, what he's accomplished for us. And realizing that he saw me one day and said, that's a treasure. You don't have to think so, he does. And he said, that's a treasure. I'm going to leave my glory. And we can't even begin to comprehend what that glory would be like. We'll see it one day. We can't even begin now to comprehend what the glory Jesus had that he gave up to come and to buy you 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 and to buy me. We can't even begin to comprehend that. And he did that. We need to come into his presence in praise and worship and thanksgiving and adoration and thank him and honor him. He wants to do many mighty works in our midst, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to heal bodies. I believe that. He wants to dissolve diseases, cancers, other things. He wants to restore marriages. I believe that with my whole heart. But I don't love him anymore. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to be raised from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that's resident within the Church of Jesus Christ today. And he can resurrect dead love, man. If you let him do that, he can give you hope again if you let him do that. But it's going to take us coming to a place, Jesus, I don't want to be Nazareth. I want to be Capernaum. I want to be where I hear you, and I honor you. And Jesus, I'm not taking you for granted. Jesus, I trust you. I give you my life to do whatever you desire to do in my life. I surrender to you. Let's stand, shall we? Father, as we stand before you, we stand in total awe of you. I do. Lord, as I read these parables, these stories about your kingdom, I want to be good ground. I want to be ground that makes a choice to to receive the seed, to let it take root. I want to water that seed with your word. I want to cultivate it and let it grow, Lord. I want to surrender to you and let you do everything you want to do in my life. Lord, thank you. Lord, there's some folks here today that, we saw the parable of the sower and the kind of, hey, I was there and I'm not. Lord, would you just call them today and say, come on home. come on back. Let them choose to surrender fresh to you and to let them not walk out of here without the word taking root in their lives today, Lord. I know some people showed up here for various reasons and never intending for the word to take root. They're just going to do a church service and get out of here. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just cause each one of us to surrender to you today and make decisions so that word will take root in our lives. Lord, we want to be wheat, not tares. We know in our hearts, each one of us, we know where we are, not what we've visualize for other people, but we know who we are, where we are, Lord. We choose to surrender fresh today. And then, Lord, I ask that you would show each one of us today that we're the treasure that you came to redeem. We can't even see treasure in ourselves, but from your perspective, from your love, you gave up everything to buy us. You bought us with your shed blood. You paid for us with your life. Oh God, let us see that. Let us see it's not a trippy thing. It's not a church membership. It's not a latest fad. You bought us and paid for us because of your love for us. And so we surrender fresh to you today, Lord. Deal with our hearts, would you, Jesus? Speak to us in our hearts, God. Whatever adjustments any of us have to make today, help us to make those adjustments. Bless your holy name. As we sing this song, I'm just going to ask some of you, man, I really believe there are some of you here that you've never come to Jesus Christ. You've never responded to him. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Some of you have heard the word today, and there was something going on inside, even a joy, an excitement. You heard the word and said, man, maybe this is the answer for my life. I'm telling you, that's the Spirit of God telling you, this is the answer, that Jesus Christ is the answer, that he's the way. You need to respond to that and then grow. But you need to respond today. Let the seed take root. You need to hear today that you are so precious to him. You are so valuable to him. You are a pearl to him, man, that he gave up everything to redeem you. Everything. You need to hear that today. And as we sing this song, I'm just going to ask, if you want to receive Jesus today, I'm going to ask you to publicly just move out from where you are and stand up front, man. There'll be some folks up here that want to pray with you. Why do I have to do that? Jesus died for you publicly, and I think he's calling you publicly. You can be just as safe sitting where you are, but there's something that solidifies your decision by making a public statement. I'm going to follow Jesus. He loved me that much to buy me with his blood. I want to love him that much to make a commitment in front of everybody to receive him today. To make a difference what your friends think or who you're with or anything else. It's you and Jesus, man. It's what it's all about. So as we sing this song, man, just make a decision. Maybe you're a person that you took the word in before and you let it get scorched. It was killed. It died because you didn't cultivate it. You didn't feed it. You didn't take more in. You didn't water it. And you're here today, but man, there's no life. You need to come and we want to pray with you, man. And don't hesitate. Just come.